Have a blessing.
Amen. Amen and amen. If you can kneel, we'll start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very, very much for blessing us once again with your presence on this Sabbath day. Thank you for bridling my tongue earlier, and thank you for bridling Brother Ryan's tongue in the sermon that he's about to share. Thank you so much, Father God, for your truth and for the way every single solitary week, even sometimes when we're just sitting there reading our Bibles, you're constantly changing the showbread, giving us more and more understanding of that which you have written so that we can be ready. Thank you for letting us be alive in these days and having eyes that see and ears that hear. Because we know just as much that salvation is a gift, so is repentance. We love you too, but we know you first loved us. Thank you for that amazing loving act that your Son did 2,000 years ago for us. That even the angels with their super intelligence can't fully understand how amazing it is. Father, the latter rain is about to fall, and we know it. We don't know the day or the hour, but you did tell us we can know the season. And so we pray that you forgive us and cleanse us and bless us with that rain. And we offer this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, who is our King, our Savior, our Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. The next voice you will hear will be that of Brother Ryan.
Sabbath blessings, brothers and sisters. I hope that your day has been blessed so far. Thank you for being here, and let's get started. The title of the sermon is, By Beholding You Shall Be Changed. Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Brothers and sisters, today we're going to go over a few examples of how by beholding we will be changed, as well as can two walk together lest they be in agreement. And the first example I'd like to share is the war in heaven, Revelation 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, as he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Brothers and sisters, even in heaven, we see where these two principles are shown to us. And heaven was not immune. Satan was envious and prideful, as well as being the beginning of liars. Because of his wickedness and the constant beholding of the angels, one third of the heavenly hosts were cast down to the earth. They had to be cast out in order to preserve heaven. 2 Peter 2 verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. Brothers and sisters, we have this example in heaven of what happened. And we know we're made lower than the angels. And this happened to them. So how much more important is it for us to make sure we pay attention to what has been laid out in His Word, to follow His examples of what to do and what not to do to a T. It's imperative. For our eternal life depends upon it. What about in the days of Noah? As another example. Genesis 7 verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou in all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. After the fall of Adam and Eve, brothers and sisters, the wickedness of the earth gradually increased to the point where only eight souls were found righteous in the sight of the Lord. Now we don't not know how many people were there, but it's easily millions, if not billions, and only eight were found righteous. From murder to rape to polygamy to homosexuality, all kinds of debasement plagued this earth. And God had to look down on this day in and day out and see this, as well as these righteous had to continually walk with these people and deal with them. And not only that, but they warned them for many, 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 many years. Noah did. And they ridiculed and mocked. And he was proven right. God was proven right. So Noah and the seven could no longer walk on the earth with these people. They were not in agreement. And God saw fit to make a way for these righteous to no longer have to behold the evil of the people. Genesis 7 verse 16. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the Lord shut them in, brothers and sisters, to once again put separation between the world and his chosen. He had to shut them in to make sure that no longer could the righteous and unrighteous mingle at this point. God, by shutting them in, shutting the door to the ark, put separation between the sinful of the world and his chosen people. These people love sin and unrighteousness to the point that there is only one outcome. Genesis 7 verse 22. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. Brothers and sisters, we must take heed. And what's another example? We look at the rebellion of Korah against Moses and Aaron. Numbers 16, verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Elab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses, with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron. Numbers 16, verse 1 to 3. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Elab, and On, the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses, with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. So here we can see another example, brothers and sisters, of envy. Just like in heaven, when Satan was envious and caused many angels to fall by the same, we see him working through man to try to come against God's chosen people. 250 princes that were renowned and famous listened to Satan's whispers to drive them to envy and strife. And we must not listen to his whispers. We must stay in Christ. We must stay in his word, the protection against the enemy's darts. Numbers 16, verse 5. And he spake unto Korah and to all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him who he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. What happened to those who joined the rebellion? Numbers 16:32, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. In 16:35, and there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Brothers and sisters, here we see God clearly showing that only can two walk together lest they be agreed, lest they be in agreement. God had to slay those who came against his chosen and against his will. These people beheld Satan's character and listened to his voice, and they were changed into his image, and the only result of this again can be death. Psalm 1 verse 5. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Amen. Brothers and sisters, another example is his people, during the time of Jesus being on this earth, walking, and his people being in this corrupt Jewish church, and him calling those of his believers, those of his, to once again separate from this. Matthew 5 verse 20, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Once again, Christ had to put separation between his believers and the rulers of the day. And we see this constantly happening. The union of the Jewish elders and the leaders of Rome is what put our Savior on the cross. Now we're thankful that he died for us, that he died for our sins. Praise the Lord. But we know that this unholy alliance, this corruption, is what led to him being put to death. It was this very act of the Pharisees and Roman leaders walking together that gave rise to the blindness and darkness that came upon the Jewish church. They beheld the Roman Empire in all its sickness and perversion and submitted themselves to its authority rather than God's. Christ had to come and once again shine the light of distinction between his people and the world. We see in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. And here's another example, brothers and sisters, between the RCC, the Protestant, and the SDA church. All throughout his time of the earth's history, we see from these three churches, God once again had to call his people out every time. because they would walk in agreement with the world. They would become destitute and vile. And this is the message that we still have to carry to the world today. Revelation 18 verse 4, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." Brothers and sisters, some have said and still say that we will not be held accountable for walking in agreement with these fallen churches, for by beholding what is in these evil churches. If some in the SDA church, if some hold to some doctrine and some little churches do not, I'm ex-SDA, I used to be SDA, and I know that some churches don't teach as other churches do, but they are all in agreement by the general council, by the head. They all have the same doctrines. There has even been former brethren that have gone and given neutral sermons in the SDA church on their pulpits, overlooking their duty to share the solemn warning of Revelation 18 verse 4. And true to his word, those people are no longer in the truth. They have beheld and yoked with these fallen churches and now have become one with them, because we cannot deny God's perfect word. These people beheld that which is evil and turned away from giving the warning, and it got swept away by Satan's whispers. And brothers and sisters, one of the last examples that I'd like to share is one that I feel is very important. It is one of the most important things. It's what God has ordained, one of the things that we have taken out of Eden, as well as the Sabbath, and it's obviously one of the most attacked, as anybody in America, anybody that watches news understands today. I want to share about marriage with you, because I have seen over the years of coming to this church many people led away by their decision regarding this very thing. Matthew 19 verse 5, "And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." Some say that it doesn't matter if their future spouse is in 100% agreement with the present truth. And this would include the health message, which is the right arm of the gospel, as well as dress reform. While none of us are perfect, there has to be a certain level of belief and agreement of doctrine, as well as counsel, before marriage is even considered. Brothers and sisters, a former sister in the church, years back, just started coming into the church, and we struck up a conversation outside the church. We were friendly, you know. We were able to talk outside and share about our day and different things. And she told me that she had been dating her boyfriend, and they planned on getting married. So I said, "Is he in the truth?" And she said, "No, but he understands what I worship. He understands that he's okay with it." And I said, "Sister, the Bible is very clear that we're not to yoke or to be married to those who are not in his truth." You know, she continued to assure me that that wasn't the case. You know, everybody always says it's not going to happen to me. And sure enough, later on, you know, after a year or so, she started coming less and less. And then she started coming more, you know, a couple times. And I would ask her how everything's going. And she was living in South Korea. She had moved there with her husband. And she had to listen at the desk to the sermon, to the Sabbath studies, with headphones on her ears, because she could not allow him to hear what was being said because he didn't like it. Okay? And needless to say, you know, 4 or 5 years have passed now, and she's not been in the truth. So keep her in prayer. I'll keep her name unknown. But it's just one example. And another example is a former brother. And he withheld certain things. You know, he did not have the long observation that we should have when it comes to marriage. You know, there should be a certain amount of history, a certain amount of proof, if you will, fruits of someone's walk. Especially when you're gonna join as one flesh, you're gonna be living in the same house, you're gonna be doing all these things. This is a very, very serious matter. It's not to be taken lightly. It's not to be with emotions. And this brother withheld certain things, and counsel was not heeded also. Facts were withheld, so accurate godly counsel could not be given. And that brother as well has been pulled away. So please keep these two in prayer, as well as their spouses, that one day they, you know, we can all meet each other in heaven, please. But I just wanted to give those two examples, and there's many others, but those two just strike me as very, very near to my heart. So, brothers and sisters, instituted by God, marriage is sacred, and we should not have a spirit of selfishness. As we venture into thoughts of marriage, we must seek godly counsel and pray earnestly that this union would be the will of God. The instruction given in God's word on this point, we should carefully consider, not to be taken lightly. The union between a man and a woman is to be considered with reason and truthful judgment. Let us look to the scripture. What does the scripture say? If the scripture says you are to keep the Sabbath, and you want to go marry someone who does not keep the Sabbath, that is not for you. Or if the person still does drugs, or if the person still smokes cigarettes, or if the person still does whatever it may be, you know that, doctrinally speaking, if they're not walking that way, then God has not given you that. We are to cast down our feelings as a guide and look only to Scripture. If the scriptures are to counsel us, it's before taking a step, before joining in one flesh. People do not submit themselves. We do not submit ourselves to God. And all too often, those looking to marry move forward in secretiveness, as I mentioned before, scared that someone, or you know, somebody might say, no, I don't think that's right, or no, the Bible says that's not right. They might counsel against their plans. Many don't realize the danger they are in, and they refuse to let Christ lead, and by doing this, they will join with unbelievers. And we know what happens when you join with unbelievers. You will be pulled away. It is only a matter of time. As Satan has planned, they will be carried away, because by constant beholding, you shall be changed. And we even go back into the scriptures, brothers and sisters, back in way long ago. The Israelites were counseled in this very thing. It was said to them in Numbers 7, verses 3 to 4, neither shalt thou make marriages with them, speaking of the pagans. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. Brothers and sisters, very important. Very important. We know there's many, many gods. It could be your belly. It could be your work. It could be your school. You know, could be your friends. It could be anything, okay? It doesn't have to be one single thing. Many, many things we can serve other than the Lord our God, okay, that created us. You know, everybody has the daily work experiences, okay? You know, I know brothers and sisters, as well as myself, were vexed daily by being around those who do not love the Lord. They cuss, they smoke, you know, they fornicate, all these things. It's just not nice. But we have to be around them. We have to endure until Christ comes. You know, TV. TV's constantly pumping in the image of Satan, his murders, his lies, you know, from Islam, from the false religions. All these things are constantly being pushed upon people that watch these things and changing them. Anybody who's older, way older than me, can see the progress of which America is changing, and not only America, but the whole world. And it's by constant beholding of the TV, of Hollywood, at the work situation, even books, and most importantly, the parents in home are not walking in the Lord. And it's more and more leading us to destruction. Okay? From our words, from our actions, everything must be brought into submission to Christ. Every single thing. If a person sees you sinning, sees you acting in a hateful manner, or an unloving manner, or an irresponsible manner, these things are, they're numbered. These people remember these things. Unfortunately, most people remember the worse, the bad, more than they do the good. And that's just the world we live in. But let us always be reminded of this, so we can learn not to do these things, so we can run even more closer to Christ and have these things washed from us and taken. We must watch every single thing we do, because we don't want others to behold and do evil than they see in us. We want to be able to reflect Christ, to be able to walk in Christ. That way when others see us, they can behold the image of Him. They can behold the Spirit of Him. And they can be blessed by that. And that we don't want to curse or be a stumbling block to any others. So let us not fill our head with the TV. Let us not fill our head with Hollywood. Let us look always into His scriptures for every single thing and guidance. Especially in marriage. Especially in friends. Especially in everything that we're going to do on a daily-to-daily basis. We must walk with Christ and behold Him. What we behold, we become. Look to Christ. We must behold the attractiveness, the loveliness of His character. And by beholding, you will become changed into His likeness. As the believer, as we behold, as we study, as we meditate upon the character of God as revealed in Christ, as revealed in the Word, and also in nature, our character becomes more and more like His perfect character. When the people of God, when we look into the Word of God and see the glory of God, the Spirit of God transforms us. Transforms them to be like the Son of God. The further we progress in our relationship with God, brothers and sisters, the more visible God's glory becomes in our life. And as we know, those of us who used to smoke or do drugs or fornicate or constantly cuss, constantly go watch movies, constantly do all these evil things. And we know as we started to walk with Christ, this dross was burned off. It was removed. And we still have a ways to go. But so many people around us, even if they don't love Christ, they have to admit a change has happened. They have to behold what Christ, what God, what the Holy Spirit, God the Father, what the Holy Spirit has done in our life. And that is to change us into His image. We no longer smoke. We no longer swear. We take responsibility for the temple that we have, this vessel that we have been blessed with, the stewardship. And we take care of that now. And we honor and we glorify our Lord in this temple, in this vessel. Constantly, looking unto Jesus, we obtain brighter and more distinct views of God. And by beholding, we become changed, growing into His likeness. We enlarge our capacity for knowing God, brothers and sisters. We can learn of Him more. We understand Him more as we grow in His likeness. More and more. That's why those who don't want to read, those who don't want to know, they know nothing of Him. They don't understand prophecy. They don't understand simple things that we understand, not because we're better than anybody else, but because we have looked upon Christ, we have looked in His Word, and He has allowed us to understand. He has opened up that capacity for knowing Him and knowing the truth. More and more, we enter into fellowship with the heavenly world. And we have continually increasing power to receive the riches of the knowledge and wisdom of eternity. Those who behold, as we behold the Savior, are changed from glory to greater glory. When men, brothers and sisters, when we will consent to submit to Christ's will, to be partakers of the divine nature, are crooked, human tendencies will disappear, and they will be replaced by Christ's robe of righteousness. Brothers and sisters, it is very important. And I know that topics or parts of this sermon have been preached over and over and over again, but I beg you to please listen to the Lord's words one more time, because as of even recently, people have left this church by the decisions that they have made a year, 2 years ago, even with, you know, throughout that time frame. And even ourselves, and even the new ones are here today that have not heard this, maybe this might be the first time. Satan is constantly coming after us. We constantly have to be refreshed, okay? If we would understand and never do wrong again, there'd be no need for any sermons. But that is not the case. So many of us still do not understand. Some of us are still coming into this truth for the first time. And some of us still need the encouragement, the uplifting of His Word, and again to be refreshed by life examples in our own life as well as others. So I implore you guys to share with each other. Share the good things and share the bad things as well. Help each other to realize that we're not in this alone. But we have to make sure we're beholding Christ and only Christ and His righteousness and not being tempted away by the devil. Even in the little things, brothers and sisters, the very little things are the foothold. In 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Brothers and sisters, I pray that this was a blessing, and I pray that you may continue to have a blessed Sabbath day. God bless and thank you so much. I love you all, and praise be to God forever and ever. Amen.
Being transformed from things.
Amen. If we can kneel, we'll finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with the changing of the showbread today on Sabbath day. Thank you for letting it find good soil, and thank you for giving it increase. And thank you for blessing us with opportunities to share with others throughout the week. Thank you for being our Lord, our God, our Creator, and thank you for saving us from our sins. Please bless everyone here in attendance, whether they're on the radio or on the phone or in the room. And please bless everyone on our prayer list. Everywhere they need to be blessed. Because we know you love each and every one of us individually. You are no respecter of persons. It's easy to see that with the so-called famous 250 princes that died when Korah rebelled. We know that we have to understand these things so as to better our walk. So please bless our wisdom and our discernment. And they could be the tests that come our way, and even helping us pass them. Thank you so much for that, too. So, Father, please forgive us. Please cleanse us. And please bless us with that latter rain that's about to fall. And we offer this prayer to you, to the best of our ability, which always falls far short of the name that we pray in. And that name is our Savior, your Son. And our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.